May the Lord help us to commence by singing hymn 892. Art thou by sin a captive led? Is sin thy daily grief? The man who break the serpent's head can bring thee sweet relief. Hymn 892. first readings this morning are from the prophecy of Habakkuk, chapters 2 and 3. The prophecy of Habakkuk, chapter 2, and we'll read the first few verses. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. And now Habakkuk chapter 3, a prayer of Habakkuk the prophet upon Shigionoth. O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years make known. In wrath remember mercy. God came from Teman, and the Holy One from Mount Paran, Selah. His glory covered the heavens, and the earth was full of his praise. And his brightness was as the light. He had horns coming out of his hand, and there was the hiding of his power. Before him went the pestilence, and burning coals went forth at his feet. He stood and measured the earth. He beheld and drove asunder the nations, and the everlasting mountains were scattered, the perpetual hills did bow. His ways are everlasting. I saw the tents of Cushan in affliction, and the curtains of the land of Midian did tremble. Was the Lord displeased against the rivers? Was thine anger against the rivers? Was thy wrath against the sea, that thou didst ride upon thine horses and thy chariots of salvation? Thy bow was made quite naked, according to the oaths of the tribes, even thy word. Selah. Thou didst cleave the earth with rivers. The mountains saw thee and they trembled. The overflowing of the water passed by. The deep uttered his voice and lifted up his hands on high. The sun and moon stood still in their habitation. At the light of thine arrows they went, and at the shining of thy glittering spear. thou didst march through the land in indignation. Thou didst thresh the heathen in anger. Thou wentest forth for the salvation of thy people, even for salvation with thine anointed. Thou woundedst the head out of the house of the wicked, by discovering the foundation unto the neck. Selah. Thou didst strike through with his staves the head of his villages. They came out as a whirlwind to scatter me. Their rejoicing was as to devour the poor secretly. Thou didst walk through the sea with thine horses, through the heap of great waters. When I heard, my belly trembled, my lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered into my bones, and I trembled in myself, that I might rest in the day of trouble. When he cometh up unto the people, he will invade them with his troops. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labour of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places. To the chief singer on my stringed instruments. And lastly, we'll read part of the Epistle of Paul to the Hebrews, chapter 10. The Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 10, commencing to read at verse 19. Verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified, an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But call to remembrance the former days, in which after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions, partly whilst ye were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst ye became companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Amen. May the Lord bless his word to us and help Benji to pray.
Do come now and grant us a true spirit of prayer, prayer that's indicted by thee. For Lord, what are our words? Oh, but vain and trifling. But oh, enable us then to draw near unto thee with that right spirit this day, as we are found in thy house once more. Oh, may there be that right desire in our hearts to worship thee in spirit and in truth. We do pray then that thou wilt come and grant thy presence here in thy house, that we each might know it is thy house. O Lord, for thou art worthy to be praised, and we would desire to praise thy great and holy name. But Lord, we have to come unto thee confessing our sins, what poor unworthy creatures we are, full of unbelief, often feeling our coldness, hardness and deadness toward thee, taken up with all the things of time, feeling far off. O Lord, we pray then that thou wilt come this day in mercy and draw us nigh unto thee, that we might know that thou wilt walk with us and that thou wilt use thy word and apply it to our hearts. For, Lord, thou alone canst do it by the power of thy Holy Spirit. Oh, that we might have that true and living faith in our hearts to truly believe in thee and to come unto thee with all our needs. For, Lord, there is none upon this earth that can supply our needs. We must come to thee, to seek thee, to supply that need for a never-ending eternity. O Lord, we must acknowledge thy mercy and thy help granted to us each in the things of time. Thou hast provided for us thus far and brought us through. O Lord, and we do desire that thou wilt remember us still, and that thou wilt keep us from evil and all the temptations of Satan. But, Lord, we need those greater things, for these things must all soon pass away, and each of us must face a never-ending eternity. Oh, and where shall we stand? Oh, do enable us then to truly trust in thee and to seek thee, confessing our sins with true humility in our hearts. Lord, remember us for good. Draw us by thy power. Oh, that we might know that thou art our Saviour, for 'tis the only name given among men whereby we may be saved. O Lord, grant us that true faith then, to believe in thee and to come unto thee that only way. O Lord, do prepare us each then, and that we might have that prospect, if it could be thy will, of a never-ending eternity with thee. Oh, is it our true desire? Do we have any desire for these things? Lord, work in our hearts, quicken our souls, and leave us not. Oh, that we might one day be found praising thy name around that great white throne, singing hallelujahs unto thee. Oh, Lord, do help us then to look to thee, to see Jesus only. Ah, that one thing needful, that we might one day praise thee for ever and ever. What a prospect. But, Lord, we are poor unworthy sinners, and we need thee to make us ready, to bring us through, O Lord, and to land us safe at last into those regions of eternal bliss. Oh, we look forward then to seek thee, to look to thee, to trust in thee, to that thou wouldst come and increase our faith and draw us unto thee. We pray then that thou wilt go before us each in all our untrodden steps here below, and that thou wilt keep us from that evil and the many snares that surround us each that would draw us away from thee. Oh, keep us, preserve us, Lord, in that right way, from walking in bypath meadow, to trust in thee and seek thee, that thou wilt lead and direct us each and keep us from all the temptations of Satan. Have mercy then, Lord, and remember us for good. Thou knowest the cases brought in here this morning before thee, and, Lord, we would remember each one, many unknown to us, but, Lord, all is known unto thee. Help each one, then, to bring their needs and their trials and their difficulties unto thee, those in sickness and afflictions, and those with trials of circumstances. O Lord, thou knowest all about it. And, Lord, may they prove, as we heard on the past Lord's Day, that they are my mountains. O Lord, that thou hast brought them there, and that thou wilt bring them through, and that thou wilt make those mountains a plain, that there might be that praise, honour and glory brought forth unto thy name. Lord, thou canst do it, and thou alone. O, do help us each then to look to thee to make a way. O Lord, and we pray for those unable to be with us this morning through ill health or other circumstances, our elderly ones at home that cannot get into thy house. But, Lord, thou art not bound. We pray that thou wilt meet with them each where they are. O Lord, we believe we can say we have proved it so, and we pray that thou wilt do it again in their hearts. O Lord, and prepare each one for a never-ending eternity, for nothing is too hard for thee. Oh, that we might have that faith to believe it, and to look to thee and trust in thy name. O Lord, we pray then for thy servants, as thou dost send them to us week by week, and that thou wilt give each one that word to speak, that message to bring, that there might be those answers to prayer brought forth. And Lord, that we each might have an hearing ear, an understanding heart. O Lord, that we might be enabled to praise thy name, for thou hast heard us. O Lord, do then help and strengthen each of thy servants. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt remember thy servant we expect tonight. And Lord, that thou wilt give him that word to speak. O Lord, do help and strengthen him then, and use thy word. Make it effectual by the power of thy Holy Spirit. Oh, that there might be some here that can leave thy house this day, praising thee, rejoicing in thee as their Saviour and their Redeemer. Oh, Lord, do help us each to seek that one thing needful. And do remember those of thy people around this world, persecuted, Lord. And we pray that thou wilt remember each one, and that thou wilt send relief, if it can be thy will, and help them to stand firm, looking unto thee. Lord, thou knowest our collections this day, and we pray that thou wilt use these things to thy honour and glory. Oh, do help us then to hold up each one, and to truly pray for them, that thou wilt grant them much needed help, strength and aid. Go before us now through the rest of this service. Be our helper here. Oh, that we might know thy presence. Do make thy word come alive once more, spoken in time past. Oh, Lord, and use it to thy honour and glory, and to the good of never dying souls. Oh, do help us then to seek thee. Come and grant us each a true token for good, a blessing indeed, if it can be thy will. Help us now, and forgive us our sins, for thy great name's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 687. Ye broken hearts all, who cry out unclean, and taste of the gall of indwelling sin, lamenting it truly, and loathing it too, and seeking help duly, as sinners must do. Hymn 687. Thank you. I will try and read to you a sermon preached by Mr. John Green. You will find the words of the text in the Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 10, and verses 35 and 36. The Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 10, verses 35 and 36. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. Good Mr. Philpott said on one occasion that he looked upon Hebrews 6 and 10 as being warning lights amidst dangerous rocks, to preserve and guide the spiritual mariner along safely. Through not giving heed to God's word, some have made shipwreck of faith, and some have had many sorrows. Some of you may feel tried this morning, and you may say, your text says, cast not away therefore your confidence. You may confess, I have no confidence. That is the very thing I feel to need. It is what I wait upon God for, that he will give me a true confidence, a good, well-grounded hope in his covenant mercy. Some of you may write bitter things against yourselves and say, that confidence which is set forth in the gospel will never be mine. I am sure I bear no marks, no evidence of being one of the election of grace. One of our ministers on one occasion preached clearly that doctrine of election. There was a poor woman in the congregation, and the devil got at her through that sermon and said, well, you are not among the election of grace, and prayer will never put you among them. There will never be any hope or mercy for you. She went home from that service exceedingly distressed and troubled. And during the night she had to groan out in such soul trouble. But I think it was the third day when the Holy Spirit mercifully helped her. And she felt like this. If I go to Jesus in my distressed state and condition, I can but perish. She felt, I will try, I will venture, I will plead, I will pray. And she did. And the dear Lord did not spurn her cry. He did not say no to her, but he granted her her requests, and her joy was unspeakable. Some of you may be greatly tried regarding some of the doctrines in God's word. The devil may try you exceedingly over some of these things. But may the Lord help you, if you feel you have no confidence, to go to him just as you are, to plead his own word, to go as Esther went before King Ahasuerus when she was in such trouble. She said, And so will I go in unto the king, and if I perish, I perish. It was indeed a venture, but oh, how she was rewarded. Through that venturing, she and her people were saved. And God's people do have to venture upon their God. They are all made to feel that how unworthy they are of the Lord's notice, of his grace, of his blessing. And yet they are convinced of the truth that heaven or hell is before them, and that in life's uncertain path they stand, that before today's sun sets, they may be in eternity. These things are very solemn. I have felt sometimes when under painful conviction of sin that I should soon die and be in hell. It was so real. And it may be very real to some of you, and you feel you have got nothing to die on, and you have not received a testimony from God's own lips. But oh, how you long for some spiritual confidence. There is plenty of confidence of a kind about in the religious world. And I am sure that some who occupy pulpits do bolster people up in a false confidence, and it is sad when they do. But those who are deeply tried in their hearts and feel painfully the guilt of sin will wait upon God till he give them a true confidence. So, poor sinner, in your distressed state and condition, you believe there is a confidence God gives to his people. You believe there are a people on earth who do possess a good hope, who have been assured that Jesus died for them and was raised again for their justification. Say you, I am sure of that. I have no doubt about that, that there are a people who God does bless and favour and give a blessed confidence to. What about it, poor sinner? Do you really want it? Do you feel to need it? Are you really seeking for it? Are you in earnest after it? If you are, there's everything in God's word to encourage you to press on and to plead with God until he favour you with that sweet confidence in your heart. Some of you may truthfully say, I believe, I have a little confidence. I have a little hope. I am not quite without hope. But my confidence is not so strong as I would have it. I am not so sure of things as I should like to be. Good top lady in hymn 380 was not so sure as he would have liked to have been. He said, pronounce, O pronounce, I am thine, a sinner once purchased by blood, and may I forever recline on the bosom of Jesus my Lord. He wanted his hope to be confirmed. He wanted more confidence in the Lord. And if you feel to be there, poor sinner, the text speaks to thee, and it says in a warning way, Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, your little hope, though you may be sorely tried and tempted and harassed. Whatever else you may lose, whatever else you may have to give up, do not give up that little hope. Cling to it, sinner. Pray that God will mercifully and graciously strengthen it for you. And the more the Lord strengthens it, the more confidence you will have. And one day you will have that full assurance of faith. The Holy Spirit will drive away for you all unbelief, all those terrible things that are in your evil heart. He will subdue that wretched infidelity, and then your heart will rejoice. You will sing his praises, and you will bless him that such a blessed hope should ever be given you. And you will keep your eye upon such a text as this and say, I will not cast away my little hope. I will not give way to the devil. I must not give way to unbelief. I must keep praying. I must keep pleading with the Lord. I must thank him that he has in any way turned my captivity, lifted me up from my once helpless state and condition, given me a little light, given me some token, so to speak, of his love and of his mercy. You may be very discouraged. You may sometimes feel, I do not seem to make any progress in the things of God. And Satan may tempt you to give up and call no more on Jesus' name. But cast not away thy little hope. Come hither and behold the Lamb. It may be that though your little confidence is a right one, though your little hope is a God-given one, yet you may not see things very clearly yet. You may not see clearly the foundation upon which your hope is built. You may not have a clear view of that precious Jesus and his blood, which is the confidence of God's people. And although you may feel to know so little, and you may seem to have so little spiritual sight, don't cast away your little confidence. Cling to it and pray that God will open your eyes that you may see more clearly. And as the Lord opens your eyes in a spiritual way to see that the Lord Jesus Christ is the confidence of his people, expect some opposition. I believe Satan, as permitted, does his very utmost to keep poor sinners from the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, the enmity, the hatred there is in the devil against Jesus. I thought early this morning that it is a solemn truth that there is an opposing force, a hellish force that is too much for us. We just simply cannot manage things. And you may sometimes be trying to manage things instead of leaning upon the Lord. But you will find a good deal of opposition if sovereign grace is assisting you to get to Jesus. But you must not give up. You must not say, I am so disappointed. I shall never get to Jesus. You may feel like that, but you must keep pressing on. You must not cast away your confidence. That woman had a little confidence, or I should say a strong confidence, when she said, "If I may but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be whole." But how was she going to get to Jesus? How was she going to touch the hem of his garment? The crowd was between her and Jesus. But she said, "I must press through." You, a poor, weak, infirm woman, one who has been unwell for so long, press through the crowd? Unbelief would say, ridiculous. Unbelief would say, impossible. But that confidence, the confidence of living faith in that woman's heart, said, it is not impossible. Faith enabled her. And she said, it is possible for me to get through the crowd. And so she presses on. I think it is a very sweet type of the Holy Ghost's work in a sinner's heart. And so she pressed through and she got to Jesus. If you don't cast your confidence away, if you pray over it, if you plead with the Lord to strengthen it, to strengthen your faith, if you press through the crowd, you will get to Jesus at last. The Blessed Spirit will be your helper, and he will help you to get to that blessed person. And when you get to him, and faith puts out her hand and touches him, then your confidence will be very blessed. You will feel in your heart that you possess that good, that well-grounded hope for eternity. And Christ will be your confidence. Christ himself will be your hope. That brings the sinner to a safe, a blessed standing. And that sinner rejoices in this blessed truth, that Christ is his confidence. And all his confidence is in Christ. Now the conflict may be even more severe after our pardon is sealed, our peace is proclaimed. It may be that the enemy will be permitted to try us even more. And some of you, after having made a profession of the name of the Lord Jesus, may say, "I am greatly tried about my standing. I feel greatly tried about the profession I have made. Things are brought solemnly into question. And what can you do?" Well, the word applies to you. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence. You must not give way to sin and unbelief. It is dishonouring to the Lord. It contradicts his gracious word. You may be ready to say to me, "But you don't know how weak, how helpless, how insufficient I am." But I believe I do, friends. I feel it in my own heart. I am greatly tempted sometimes to give up, greatly tempted that my religion is not real, is not the work of the Blessed Spirit. But though severely tempted, we must not give up. We must pray for more confidence. We must ask the dear Lord to make our evidences clearer for us. We must go before him as one went before him and prayed thus. shine upon the work of grace, if indeed it be begun. Don't let me give up, Lord. Give me perseverance in the race. Enable me to fight with hell by faith. Everything hangs here. You must cling to this. It is a most important scripture. Cast not away therefore your confidence. It is your life. It is your everything. Now, we were reading in the book of the prophet Habakkuk this morning. He lived in some solemn times, and he had troubles and distresses, but he did not give up. I like what he says there. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labour of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. I will not cast away my confidence. Though things be so distressing, so trying, I must cling to the Lord. I must cling to his word, that word he has given me. Cast not away, therefore, thy confidence. The text then says, which hath great recompense of reward. If the Lord has given you a little hope, it is a good hope, and that will keep you amidst the storms, temptations, and troubles of life. But it will not bring you that peace and that comfort you desire. But God has promised that to those who cast not away their confidence, but who plead, cry, and has helped hang on to him, that they shall prove that this confidence hath great recompense of reward. God will honour it, God will approve of it. And we read of one and another how the Lord did bless them, how the Lord did favour them. You take, for instance, that poor man who went to Jesus on behalf of his child. And the Lord said to him, all things are possible to him that believeth. It was a test for him. He did not feel he had got much faith. He did not feel he had got much confidence. But he said, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. Strengthen me. That is where the Lord brings his people. They believe and yet they want help against their unbelief. And the Lord favoured that man, and he proved that there was a blessed recompense to his faith, to that confidence God had given him, although he was greatly tried and troubled. Why are these things left on record? To encourage God's dear people down to the end of time. So, poor sinner, if the Lord has given you a little faith, a little confidence, a little hope, there will be a blessed recompense one day. There will be a blessed reward one day. Not by way of debt on God's part, for he does not owe us anything. But it is all of grace, all of love, all of mercy on his side. And he has promised that he will honour that faith which he gives to his people. He has promised that there shall be a rich, a blessed reward given to it. Isn't this an encouragement? Another reason why you and I should not cast away our confidence. But you may say, that recompense seems a long time coming. What is the recompense you seek, friends? Or to put it another way, what is it that you believe God gives to his people? You say the pardon of their sins, a sweet assurance that when they die they will go to heaven. Have you got this, poor sinner? You may say truthfully this morning, no, I do not feel I've got that. I do not feel that I can look into my heart and there see that blood-bought pardon. I am not sure, I am not confident that when I die I shall go to heaven. But would you have these things if you could, poor sinner? Is your heart after them? Do you believe that God does bless his people with them? Do you really believe he is true to his word, where he has said, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you, ask and ye shall receive? You say, I believe God is true to his word, but I feel severely tried as to whether I am the right character. I am such a sinner. I feel to be such a poor, worthless worm, and this casts me down. So I wonder, though not being without a little hope, whether I shall ever get what I long for, what I earnestly seek. Well, the next verse will come in now. For ye have need of patience. And that is true. All God's people have need of patience. There is a set time to favour Zion. And though we feel how helpless and undeserving we are of the Lord's notice, yet amidst all our dejection there is a who can tell. Sometimes we are enabled to trace some marks of election, some tokens of God's grace. There is then a willingness to abide God's time. For ye have need of patience. And perhaps as we grow older, we feel to have more and more need of patience. And how impatient sometimes we grow. Sometimes we are ready to say, sure, the mercy I have sought is not for such as me. I am sure that the time of love will never come. I seem to have just so much religion that makes me miserable. I dare not go into the world and enjoy its sordid pleasures, and yet I cannot get real spiritual satisfaction. Well, friends, the Lord give you patience. The Lord is good to the soul that waiteth for him. It is good for a man that he should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. To wait upon him, not carelessly, not indifferently, but to wait upon him with humility, feeling, I do not deserve that blessing, the pardon of my sins, and a good hope for heaven. but I do want it. And as the Lord helps me, I will wait upon him. I will put up fresh cries. I will try to wrestle with him. I will seek as he helps me to plead that holy and blessed word. Now that shows a good exercise. It is not impatience. It is waiting upon the Lord, obeying his word. That is saying, Lord, speak, for thy servant heareth. Now God will honour that waiting, that seeking, and pleading with him. For ye have need of patience. God is never before his time. God is never behind. He is a God of order. We see it in his providence, in creation. Everything is wisely ordered by him. And spiritual things are wisely ordered by that great God. And if you patiently wait for him, prayerfully wait for him, he will not disappoint you. He said, I said not unto the seeking seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. You will not seek him in vain, poor sinner. Now these things that the Lord does will encourage you not to cast away your confidence, though everything seems to fail. Things did not seem to come to perfection in the days of Habakkuk, but he still waited upon the Lord. He still pleaded with him in the midst of all these difficulties. He would wait until the Lord turned his captivity. And it does not seem that the good man was miserable about the things either. No, there was a measure of cheerfulness and hope in his heart in the midst of these trials. You may say, I certainly feel to need the text. In the midst of spiritual and other trials, I need patience. You see, friends, if we do not exercise patience, if we are ready to cast away our confidence, if we are not willing to wait until God answers our prayer, we make our case even worse. We deprive ourselves of any comfort and peace that the Lord has mercifully given us. We drive the Holy Spirit from our hearts. We grieve him, and that is a sad thing to do. May the Lord give us this patience, that amidst the trials and difficulties of the way, we may seek to endure what he sends. If darkness veils our signs, if darkness sometimes seems to be found upon our souls, and distress attends us, faith will say, there is some wise purpose in it. It may be to stain my cursed pride. It may be to subdue my independent spirit. The time comes sometimes with the farmer when he says, I shall have to fallow this field another year. Perhaps a lot of weeds spring up. You may notice sometimes in the harvest that there are some ears that seem to stand so much higher than others. And generally speaking, this is wild stuff. Stuff that has run wild. It comes up before the true ears and ripens off earlier, and so its seeds are scattered out upon the field. And you see, gradually but surely, the field gets overrun with that which is wild, and so it has to be fallowed. And it is so sometimes with the Lord's people. Oh, what a lot of rubbish there is in us. What a lot which is not of the Spirit. A lot which we may say is wild. And the Lord, it may be for a time, seems to forsake us. There is not that sensible enjoyment of his presence. One said, I seem forsaken and alone, and hear the lion roar. But you see, the work is going on. The ground is being prepared for further seed. So it may be with you, poor sinner. You must not cast away your confidence. You may feel barren and dry, but you must still not cast away your confidence. This word still applies to you. The good Spirit may be fitting and preparing you for better days. Ye have need of patience. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day amounted to £642, for which we are very thankful. And God willing, Mr. Timothy Barker is expected to preach this evening, Mr. Hadley on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Fred Ince next Lord's Day. And the collections today are for the aid of the persecuted Christians in Iraq, probably through the Barnabas Fund. Let us close with hymn 329. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said, you who unto Jesus for refuge have fled. 329.
Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of the fellowship of God.